Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
The subject of tonight is a dual-fold subject, the Father's heart and the alignment of our hearts to the Father. So we've been going through a series called Pursuing the Power of Christ. Tonight I'm going to try and bring a little bit of light into aligning our hearts with the Father's heart. I went to the Crossings list of podcasts the other day and I clicked on Gary for some reason, and Gary was talking on the Father's heart. Aligning our hearts with the Father is a very dear subject to me. It's something that I've been pursuing for the last couple of years, not totally understanding the Father's heart and what was my part in this journey. I'd like to just go over a couple of things that Gary touched on. So when we talk about the Father's heart, when Jesus came to the earth, he said, "I only speak what the Father has told me, and I only do what the Father does, has showed me what to do." So when we speak of the Father's heart, we're talking of Jesus' heart. They are one, united. We're talking of the Holy Spirit. They are in unity. Whatever the one does honors the other. And so when I refer to the Father's heart, I'm referring to Jesus' heart. I'm referring to the Holy Spirit's function on earth inside of us. So Jesus said when he came to earth, "If you know me, you know the Father." As I only do and act on what he shows me and tells me. The other item that Gary touched on, and we've been touching on it in the Sermon on the Mount, is the fact that the words are like this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom." Blessed are the poor in spirit. This thing puzzled me, because for me, I would want to be strong in spirit to come to the Father, because that would be an honoring to him if I was strong in spirit. But my understanding was so incorrect that when I started meditating on it, in fact, I've written something for Rwanda on this one item. It impacted me so much that when I stand before the table that the Father's laid out, with all of this, I come as an empty wine casket, empty. And the Father gives me the Holy Spirit and fills me with inside. But I've got to understand that when I come before Him humbly, graciously, for his treasures that He's given me, I come with nothing. I come with absolutely, it's dust. From dust we came and from dust we'll go. We come with nothing, we take nothing. So we come to the table of feasts with nothing. But yet, He blesses us with everything. He fills us to the brim. But the fortunate thing is that He doesn't only fill us to hold on to that. He fills us so we can outpour the Holy Spirit to others. So this is the Father's heart. The other one that Gary touched on is under authority and in authority. Jesus came to earth under authority. It's an incredible thing. He says when at the Last Supper, he took a towel and he put it over his arms and he knelt down before them and he washed their feet. That's an incredible picture of us as saints, an example for us to follow. I'm sure there's plenty of you that have been to the army, but I was in the army for 2 years. I was a foot soldier. I wasn't of any rank. I didn't speak Afrikaans, so it was not easy. Come from Zims, and I was, they used to tell us instructions, and I would turn in the opposite direction and not understanding. But the amazing thing is, when a sergeant major, I was only a foot soldier, but when the sergeant major came down and he said, "Tony, take these men and fill that function. I suddenly had the authority of the sergeant major. There was no question about the authority that I held, even though I was only a foot soldier. And Christ came to earth as a servant, but yet he had the authority of God. So, under and in authority. We sit under the authority of God as a person, as a saint in this church, the Crossing. I sit under the authority of my elders. They sit under the authority of God, and we all sit under that authority. But when God poured out His Holy Spirit, He gave us the sergeant major's rank for us to go out and accomplish the task that He's asked us to do. Three important points in pursuing the power of the Holy Spirit, His vision and His mandate. The first one is our understanding of the Father's heart. If we don't grasp the Father's heart, we will never understand it. The second one I have is aligning our hearts with the Father. If we understand the Father's heart and we cannot align our hearts, we have only understood His heart. We will never function in the direction He wants us. And the third item that I've got here is walk in the new, in this new revelation of who the Father is and where our hearts need to align with His. With the power of the Holy Spirit in us and the Holy Spirit through us is what the Father's function for us is on this earth. The other day, I was at lunch with some friends. We've come to know Rodney and Nita quite well. And it was, I don't know if you've had that penny dropping moment with somebody. That you know the scripture, you know all about it, you know where it is in the Bible, you know what God feels, but there's just not that thing that drops into your heart. And Rodney was talking about some finance. And I've always got questions with finance because I find nothing in the scripture. Well, there's a lot, but I don't find enough because I'm a businessman. I've always got a question. I asked Rodney. I said, Rodney, that thing about finance. So he took out his, Rodney's always prepared. And we need to be prepared. There's always going to be an opportunity where somebody comes to you and says something. What about that? So he took out his computer. He said, what question was it? He went through, that one. He looked at it and he said, Tony, this is a heart issue. And suddenly, I realized that a lot of my questions to God, to elders, was not about the facts. It was about where I was operating out of. And the penny dropped for me. And I realized pursuing the power of Christ relates everything to where we're operating out of. You know, we can ask a million questions of God. He will have answers in there, but in the scriptures, He will have answers. You know, there's answers for every season in here. But if we are not aligning our hearts with the Father, we will never see the answer. It'll just be scripture. It'll just be written words. Last week, Brad sang this song, and I've got to say, he challenged me in this. I think it was Brad that mentioned this. He said, or it was a podcast I was listening to, is when you have to preach, don't see everything that is said to you for the preach. Listen to the God, listen to the Father's heart, because that's what I was doing. Everything, wow, I want to put that in my... So... Anyway, you know, we need to live life with an aligned heart with the Father and not have our own agendas of bringing this word to His people. Because the Holy Spirit will lay that word that needs to be said onto our hearts. So last week we sang this song and we sang it today. Chris didn't know what I was talking on. And I'd like I would like you to just listen to the words. It says, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. Of what they think you're like, the Father. But I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased. I want to tell you, the Father speaks and He's pleased with you. And I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. You know, until our hearts are aligned with the Father's heart, we will never understand that we are not alone and He's a good Father. The perception, unfortunately, for people outside this congregation here, and maybe even for some of us, because it's taken me 58 years to actually come to understand this thing. The perception of the Father's heart in society is so distorted. And we are the only ones, as Christ followers, who are going to reveal the true Father's heart. I want you to consider these words. Created. Adopted. Died for us. Risen. Sent the Holy Spirit. These are the words of the gospel. In very brief, and I know I'm simplifying a lot. But the end item, He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I want us to see and put the Father's heart there. The Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, and so much more. I'm just going to give you some scripture that I'm going to back those words up. Look, He created. God created us. It says in Jeremiah 1:15, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart for me before you were born. He knew us before He even created the earth. It says here, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. Before you were conceived, He knew us. He knew the spirit that was in us. It's created. Adopted. Ephesians 1:5. Adopted as sons and daughters. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It wasn't that he had to adopt us. He knew when we were formed. He knew us before we were formed. And He had adopted us in His heart before then. The next one, John 3:16. He died for us. I got to tell you, when I gave my life a second time to the Father, the thing that kept me going as a Christian, because I didn't have this amazing conversion where the Holy Spirit came on me and knocked me flat. I had a journey to go through. And I used to think of my son. And Brad and myself were talking the other day. And we were talking about laying down. And to be honest, when I was first saved, I would never have considered that. To lay down my son, to lay down everything for the will of the Father. And in those early days, I used to think of my son, and many, many years ago when my son was growing up, the pain within inside of me for the love that I had for this man, for this child, was so great that it used to tear me apart in case something happened to him. And I used to pray to the Father, take this pain away, because it was too much to bear. And I'm sure most of you have got kids, so you would understand that. But it was actually an aching pain, because I used to have this fear that something would happen to him. It says this in John 3:16. For God so loved and dearly prized the world, that's us, that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Not only did He give His Son, but He took our sins and He gave us eternal life. I don't have words for that, because only of late have I been able to lay stuff down before the Father. I have been a businessman since very young, and everything I did in my own strength. And I was self-made, and that's the way we start living a culture in our own lives. And the Father has been breaking that down and just enforcing and massaging my heart with the fact that He is everything that I need. And then in John 16:7, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." This is key for me. This is pivotal in my life, that I do not have to strive for anything in my life. I don't have to prove anything to the Father. Jesus came and paid everything. He settled that price. I think of it like this: a bank account. Jesus deposited everything I need in this bank account. Everything. An oversupply. We could never withdraw what is in that bank account to live. And all we have to do is access it. All we have to do is believe that He came and actually opened the bank account for us. The passage that I would like to read, that I've based today on, just to give you a little bit of background, after I met with Rodney, I was reading through this passage, Acts 4:32 to Acts 5, around about 5. I'm going to, because of time, I'm only going to pick out two little aspects of it. When I was reading it, it's all about money. But actually, it's nothing about money. It's all about the Father's heart. It's all about where we operate out of. It's all about who He is and what He does for us. So in this passage, and I don't have the time to go through it, but I would encourage you to read it and contemplate and meditate on what is written behind the words that He's written here. I'm going to give you just a couple of items. Unity. One with the Father's heart, aligning ourselves with the Father. The power of the Holy Spirit. No doubt in our hearts, but a submitted heart. The urgency of our message and the obedience of our life. Acts 4:32. Let me just give you a bit of context here. Jesus had come to earth. He had been crucified. He rose again to the Father. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They started the first church of Christ. The first day, 2,000 were saved. By this time, in Acts 4, there were about 5,000 people in this church. Now I want to tell you, these are Christians that were a couple of months old. They were not, if it was a year, I would imagine that it was a lot. But I would imagine it was just a couple of months old. And I want you to hear the words that are written. "Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul." Now I can tell you, 5,000 people in those days, of all different cultures, of all different financial groups, would never be one heart and one soul.
Yes.
The key is that the Holy Spirit,
yes,
in His full power, was uniting and cementing the community together. This could never have happened if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit's outpouring. But here's the beauty. One heart and one soul are what we call to. The Holy Spirit today is the same as it was in those times. He hasn't diminished. He hasn't decreased. He's, in fact, I believe He's increasing in the favor and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. By the Holy Spirit, we are united as one heart and one vision. As the Crossing Church, I felt that this was key for us, that we are united with one heart, one soul, one vision. By the Holy Spirit, they were a community. Brad talked on community today. He didn't know what I was preaching on. I can tell you there were about 5 points in what I've got here that he preached on today, and I'm like, yes, Lord. The Holy Spirit was the cement that created the community of the believers. I want to go to Matthew 28, 16 to 20. It's the Great Commission, and we all know it. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The first word that I want to talk about is doubted. If we are ever to understand the Father's heart and align ours with His, we can never doubt this. This is, and I've got to be honest, I have doubted a lot in here as I was growing and maturing in the Father. You know, Lord, this doesn't seem right. All these questions. But I've come to understand that no matter what, I will believe what is in here. If you go to Matthew 11, around about 6, John the Baptist. Now I want to tell you, John the Baptist, the greatest apostle, I think that's what they call him, or the greatest prophet, this is a man that has this label, is sitting in prison. He's the one that says, this is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he doubted.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have these doubts in us.
Sure.
But I want to bring a positive aspect to the doubt that we have. Because sometimes doubt or questioning is a good thing. We are called to question. I've written, question, seek, find the revelation with the Holy Spirit. We are designed to question. We question life all the time. What are you telling me? How much is this? You know, prove that to me. Google, tell me this. And John was seeking to make sure. He wasn't doubting like his faith. He was questioning, are you the Messiah? And I think when we look at Scripture, we must question Scripture and understand it, because the Holy Spirit will reveal the revelation of what the Scripture means. But we cannot have doubt about the gospel. In Acts 5:1, which is the one passage that started me on this journey of looking behind the words that Christ has written in Scripture. It reads like this. Now a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's full knowledge, the complicity he kept back, and complicity he kept back some of the proceeds, bringing only a portion of it, and set it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and secretly keep back for yourself some of the proceeds of the land? As long as it remained, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was the money not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this act in your heart? You have not lied to people, but to God. This is a very puzzling scripture if you just read it. Because it's calling, if you just go back a couple, and I'd encourage you to read it, it's calling, it's giving a demonstration of everybody selling whatever they own to feed the saints of the church. But if you read it a little bit more carefully, number one, both husband and wife were in unity. And that talks to me of oneness in marriage. When we make decisions as leaders of our family, we need to understand that we take our wives with us in those decisions. And here, they were together in this. But it says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? This wasn't about money. This wasn't about anything. It carries on and says, did it not remain your own? Was the money not under your control? You know, if they had as a couple gone and said, we've sold the property, we're bringing you 10,000 rands and the property was 1 million, that would have been okay. Because the heart behind it was genuine. It was open. It was, this is what we're doing. There was no deception. You see, whether it be serving or tithing, preaching, or whatever function, there will never be joy to the Father unless we come with a heart of openness and fully disclosing the facts to the Father. I mean, He knows everything. He knew before you did it. So I think you've got to be a little bit simple to bring and lie to the Holy Spirit if we truly understand the Father's heart and what He's done for us. The joy of the Father does not come if we are serving with a heart that is not in joy. And serving with a heart that is not fully open and just giving. If we are tithing, this thing has challenged me, guys. I've got to be honest here. For many years, this has challenged me. That whatever I tithe, I must tithe with an open heart, with a giving heart. I don't think it's about the 10%. Because if we knew Father's heart, we would be tithing 15, 20% or 30%. I have a very good friend, a friend of Brad's, Paul Langton on the coast. He's been in my younger Christ years, 50, my younger years. He's been like a father in the way of I'm older than him. But the one statement he made to me, because I was always questioning and always asking, I wanted to know more. I wanted to understand the dynamics and the cogs that go into being a Christ follower. I was talking about tithing. And he said, Tony, at the moment, because he's a farmer and he's a businessman like me, he said, at the moment I'm tithing 20% of what I get. He said, but my heart, my goal is to tithe 30%. And when I'm getting there, I want to tithe 40%. And I was challenged by this man's heart. The Father does not want us to tithe out of resentment. He doesn't want us to serve out of resentment. He wants us to serve out of a heart of willingness. An aligned heart will continuously testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the good news. We are called to testify to the fragrance of Christ to the world. We have a mandate to pursue Christ and make Him known to the ends of the earth. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it puts it like this. But thanks be to God, who also leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. I'm hungry to spread the word in Rwanda. I'm hungry to spread this good gospel in South Africa, because it has a fragrance that is sweet. It has a fragrance of freedom. It has a fragrance of growth. It brings us out of the chains that Satan has held us in and brings us into freedom. The question I have is, how do we align our hearts with the Father's heart? And I'm sure there's many more, but I'm going to just go through a couple. Aligning our hearts with the Father by the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit is a pivotal tool that we need to understand. Be in the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to make the written words into heart-living words. Stay in worship. Glorify Jesus in everything we do. There's times, John touched on it, I think it was last Sunday, where John's main focus was praise and worship under persecution. The scriptures say we will be persecuted. It's not if, it's not when, it's we will be persecuted. And I've got to tell you, the 2 years, or just over 2 years that we've been at the Crossing, I was telling Sands the other night, I said, one of the things that has built concrete inside of me, I'm a builder, or steel in my spine, is the preaching on the storms of life. Because we do go through them. And if we don't have the tools, we will never be able to conquer. We will always be walking around the hill. And it'll be a 40-year journey. So I am grateful for the storms of life. They are not easy. But I can tell you this. Once you've walked through them and you have victory, it's a sweet victory. Times to listen and seek His heart. How do we do this? This was a very difficult one for me. And it's only in the last couple of months that I've been able to still my heart and actually hear the Father speaking to me. Ask Him questions. He's a good, good Father. Some examples. What are you saying, Father, to me? What do you want me to know? How would you like me to do this? How can I honor you? How much would you like me to give? Who can I bless? And one of the problems that we have with our society is we have TVs and cell phones. And we overprocess stuff. We have all this input, but we never still our minds and seek the answers. I equate seeking the Father's heart and aligning us to a book of financials. And I know we have an accountant in amongst us, so I've got to be careful what I say. But auditing our financials. You know, until we know that we have a balance sheet that balances. If anybody, yeah. So we have a set of files which has information in. We take that information and we put it on a sheet of paper. It's called a balance sheet, I think. And they must balance at the bottom. What was and what is. must balance. And I feel that we need to take time out of our busy schedules and do an audit on our lives, our internal lives, our external lives. How are we treating our wives? How are we tithing? How are we serving? How do we treat our workers? How are we honoring our children? How is the stuff that comes out of this being accounted for? What is coming out of our heart? So when you write down on the one side, we say, okay, this is what I believe. But what is the facts on the other side? Because there's going to be an auditor, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's going to come back and audit us. And they have to balance. And I can tell you this, auditors will go on for hours and hours to find the last cent. But Christ will find that cent. Know the promises of God over your life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I don't know. I think that's a good promise.
Amen.
I'm nearly finished. Obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to the voice of the Father. Obedience to the word of the Father, the living word. Because when we hear this, we are called to be obedient to it. But only if you have an aligned heart with the Father's. Obedience brings life. The flowing living waters of Jesus Christ through obedience brings freedom and life. What is the outcome of aligning our hearts with the Father's heart? What are the fruits that the Father promises when we align our hearts with His? We become generous. We serve well with correct hearts. We live in the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We live in kindness. We live in love. We live in patience. We live in joy. We live in peace. We live in goodness. We live in faithfulness. We live in gentleness. We live in self-control. I hope that tonight the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and that we don't find condemnation from the Holy Spirit, but we find life.